Today brings the epilogue to Believed, the Michigan Radio and NPR podcast exploring how and why Larry Nassar was able to sexually abuse so many women and girls over so many years. Listening to Believe delivers an emotional gut punch, and that's certainly the case with its two reporters, Michigan Radio's Kate Wells and Lindsay Smith. What was it like for you over this past year of working on Believed?
It was heavier than I thought. That sounds really stupid, and I'm not a newbie. I internalized it more than I have before. And I am fortunate that I'm not a survivor of abuse myself, but it does definitely, as an empathetic person, you know, it sat on my heart, and some of the stories definitely sat on my heart for long periods of time and in ways that my work certainly has never affected me before.
How about you, Kate?
Yeah, I had that experience while covering the Nassar case. In some ways, it was really nice to be able to do this with a partner. Because for those reasons, somebody was doing this with you. The best description I have for this project on just a personal level, and poor Lindsay has heard me make this analogy before, is this sounds so sappy, but it was a privilege. It is a privilege.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of projects like this in a lifetime where you are doing something that is exactly what you want to be doing and that you care about it this much. And getting to tell those stories was, I think, easily the greatest privilege I've had so far.
What did you learn about these Nassar survivors? That we saw them as they did their victim impact statements in that courtroom, and we've come to know a lot of them. But what did you learn about them through doing this that maybe you didn't realize before, didn't understand before?
Everybody saw the sentencings. Everybody who knows Larry Nassar's name knows, like, he did it. He did the thing. He's a bad dude. But these women, as we were talking to them and getting to spend more time with them, even months after Larry Nassar had gone to prison, the experience of not being believed for so long is such a central one that even though they are now currently believed, it's hard for them to always internalize that. One example I give is multiple times in different interviews, we'd be walking through with somebody the reasons that they weren't believed, you know. Well, and then the police investigator said this and they assumed that, or Larry, you know, made this excuse. And it's like they would transport themselves back there emotionally, and they'd even say things to us in the present moment, literally, you guys believe me, right?
Right.
And the first time that happened, Lindsay and I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, we were like, kind of looked at it like, yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
We believe that Larry Nassar abused you. But it doesn't go away. Like, you spend 5-20 years of your life believing that you were the problem. That doesn't just stop happening. And I think this year especially, I've been able to watch them, whether it's on social media or in our conversations, react to and sort of experience the news, like the Kavanaugh hearings, on a very personal level. It would be really hard for me in their shoes not to internalize somebody else not being believed, because for them, it feels like the same thing. It feels almost like they are on trial again. Mm-hmm. Every time cases like this happen.
What do you think the biggest lesson that we all can learn from the stories you've told in Believed?
I have two.
You get to do more than
two.
One.
One is a personal one that I think I'm going to take in my life, and one is one of, I think, that, like, the part of me that's angry wants us to learn. My deepest fear coming out of that sentencing was that we didn't get it. It was that people just like us are capable of missing this, and that that's how these cases happen. And so whatever assumptions make you feel comfortable about how you would not mess this up, how you would not be the police investigator or the Title IX investigator who missed it, how you would not be able to be conned as a parent, those comfortable assumptions are the danger zone, and they're why these cases keep happening. My most personal lesson, you know this, I had a baby this year, my first kid. My most personal lesson, I think, came from the parents that we got to talk to and did an episode about. that they were the kind of parent I wanted to be. They have had to realize that in some ways they may feel like they failed their kid, or that their kid had the big bad thing happen that we kind of all fear as parents, and that these children have to live with this pain that we all would do anything to stop and protect. And the grace with which these parents have allowed space for that, allowed that into their lives and into their kids' lives, and faced it with honesty and grace, that is the best role model for parenting I've ever seen. On a personal level, I hope that someday I'm able to face my own shortcomings or regrets as a parent with that much honesty and grace.
Final thought for you. How did this impact you? How did this affect your life, Lindsay?
I think one of the biggest lessons I took was that kids aren't necessarily going to tell you things in the way that you would expect them to. You know, having clear, open lines of communication with your kid that they're not going to get in trouble no matter what they tell you, that you're a safe place. Those are sort of the givens. But one of the things that struck me, too, is Jacob Denhollander, Rachel's husband, told me, and I'm doing a quick write-up for the web on this lessons bit, and he says, you know, it's easy to condemn Larry Nassar now. It's easy to condemn Hitler now. It's what you do when you're there in the moment that matters. And he says, you know, I'm not in an institution now. I don't have a bunch of power, quote unquote, now. But that can be important factors later on in your life. So I'm 33 now. As I move on in my life and maybe gain more power and prestige, you can't see my sarcasm face there. But, you know, how do you deal with that when you do have something to lose, when you are kind of going against the systems that you are already now a part of?
Or when you deeply don't want it to be true.
That's
when so
yeah,
much of your own
too.
Identity
right.
is based on being a person who would not have been fooled by this. When
right.
it's your pastor, when it's your husband, when it's your family member.
What are you going to do? Right.
Well, 8 powerful episodes and a powerful epilogue. And it's been something to follow this with you. And thank you for the work you did to bring their stories to the world.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.